Welcome to Sincerely Trish. This is an uplifting show based on a few life stories, faith, and a lot of years of experience on this earth. It's a show that will bring inspiration and hope to all who have ever felt something in this life that does not seem fair or possible. Let's begin.
Hi, welcome to Sincerely Trish. We're up to episode number 47. My name's Trish Lewis. I put this show together to help us to be our best selves. Today I'm going to focus on summer reading. Remember the days when you would have a summer reading list? And possibly you're a parent now of a child who has some summer reading to do. It's not always easy to get all the books read. But today I'm remembering all the times that I read with Natalie her books for summer reading when she was in high school. Pride and Prejudice, Girl with the Pearl Earring, couple of books that come to mind. And Natalie, of course, was always so active, especially in the summer. And it was a time for us to kind of escape the swim practice and the busyness. And we would just go into a quiet room and take turns reading out loud to each other so we could just savor that book together and discuss it. We just left out the whole world. And rereading the classics was wonderful for me. I probably didn't, read them as carefully as I should have when I was a young girl. But just reading out loud to Natalie and having Natalie read out loud to me and rubbing her arm and scratching her head, just a cherished memory I have. Folks, don't worry about the cliff notes. Enjoy that time. Read those books again. Good news. Guess who's back with us today? Katie Sieben. Katie's an Olympic qualifier for swimming. Yeah, it's that time of year. Katie loved reading, and she used to read out loud to Natalie. Katie, welcome back. Talk to us. Talk to us a little bit about why you love reading.
I've always loved to read, even since I was a child. I had so many books that I wanted to read that I used to read two or three at a time. And my mom would always say, I don't know how you do that. How are you reading two or three books at a time? How do you remember what's going on in each book? I love any type of genre, really. Probably nonfiction with some sort of historical background would be my favorite, but I'll read fiction, biographies, trendy books, really anything. It gets a little harder when you get older because you get busier. I remember my least favorite part of college was that I had less time for pleasure reading. There's really nothing like getting lost in a book. You can forget everything around you and get lost in any other world, just surfacing only when you want to. I remember in 2013, I found this app called Goodreads, and you could write down all of the books that you want to read, and then you write down all the books that you already read, and then you rate them. And I ended up having 150 books in the to read category, and I showed Natalie, and she just burst out laughing and said, I cannot believe you have 150 books. How are you going to have time to read all of those? For the record, I still have 150 books in my to-read category. But in general, Natalie and I always had an appetite for information. We both like to learn. If I would read a book that she hadn't read, I would just text her all of the facts from the book because I knew that she genuinely appreciated the information that I was reading about and just learning something new. We were the people who would go to a museum and literally read every single piece of information in the museum. When she would do her laundry, she always used to listen to Freakonomics podcasts. And every night when I would see her after she did her laundry, she would say, you're not going to believe what I learned today on Freakonomics podcast. I remember a couple years ago, we went to see the movie Lincoln, and it was about 2.5 hours long. And the feedback that I had heard from most people who had seen it was, It was too long. It had too much information, just kind of a complete information overload. So anyway, we went to go see it, and we left there with even more questions about Lincoln, and she had driven. So on the way home, I was just Googling all these facts about Lincoln with all these questions that we had, because we felt like we didn't get enough and wanted more. She always loved when I would read to her, and she would always say, "I love it when you read to me. Can you read to me?" So in college, I used to read The Collegian to her, which was the University of Richmond's newspaper. I would read that to her in D-Hall. And then I remember a couple years ago, we went to the Luray Caverns, and I took this pamphlet about the significance of the Shenandoah Valley during the Civil War. And so the ride home is about 2.5 hours. So she's like, can you read to me? So I read the entire pamphlet about the history of the Shenandoah Valley during the Civil War. And we just kept quoting it for days after that about all these different facts that we learned. We would sometimes read the same books and share them. And one of them that we both liked was called The River of Doubt by this author called Candace Millard. And it was about Teddy Roosevelt's journey through the Amazon and down the Amazon River. There's another book by her, too, called The Destiny of the Republic about James Garfield that we both wanted to read. But mostly books where you just get a ton of facts about different events and different people in history. We both loved Titanic for whatever reason and watched the movie often, but also would just look up facts about the ship, and there's just endless facts about it. And that was one of Natalie's quotes. She would always say, "Oh my gosh, we have facts for days." In 2009 in college, I took an entrepreneurship class, and we read this book called Leaving Microsoft to Change the World. It's much better than it sounds, but it's about this individual, John Wood, who was pretty high up at Microsoft and was leading a life that he felt wasn't completely satisfying to him at that time. So he ended up leaving Microsoft and saw this huge need in the world for books. And he traveled to other countries, and he was amazed to find that most children around the world don't have access to books at all. So he started this organization called Room to Read, and he would collect books and send them to different countries. It originally started in Nepal, but then it spread to other countries in South America, it spread to Vietnam, and now it's a huge organization. But Natalie and I used to go for a lot of walks, and if you know her, if you're walking, you're talking. So we used to talk about a lot of stuff, and I told her about this book a couple years ago and how I thought it would be great to start a Room to Read chapter in Richmond. I believe they're headquartered in D.C., but I thought it would be neat to do that and collect books and send them. The organization eventually evolved into building schools for these children as well, and it's surprisingly inexpensive to build a school in a foreign country such as Nepal or Vietnam. Usually $8,000 to $10,000 would build you a school for these kids. The organization also focuses on sending girls to school. In a lot of other countries, when girls are 12 or 13, the families will marry them to a much older male usually. So the goal of the program also is to keep these girls in school. It only costs $250 to send a girl to school for a year, and that includes supplies and uniforms and books. So I always thought that it would be great to start a Room to Read organization in Richmond, and B, eventually build a school in another country, because I think that would be just a great contribution and something that's really fulfilling. And I hadn't thought about it in a couple years, and then after this happened to Natalie, I thought it would be great to not only build a school, but to build one in her name. As an education major and an educator and a lover of information, I really think that there's no better way to honor her than to build a school and to educate children in another country. So it is a really great organization. They have a website, roomtoread.org. So I think that is definitely something that I would like to do in the future as one of many ways that we can honor her. I definitely miss a lot of things about her, but I really do miss sharing information with her and hearing information from her, because we really did learn from each other and we're energized by each other. So I'm constantly thinking about her when I hear something about Titanic or about Lincoln or a book that I think that she would like or Freakonomics podcast or anything. But I know that she really appreciated learning, and it was definitely a lifelong thing for her. You can never know enough.
That's right. You can never know enough. My hope is that we'll all just find a book that helps us escape and increase our vocabulary and teach us new facts, keep us interesting, and captivate us so much that we never want to put that book down. And I certainly hope you find a reading buddy like Natalie found in Katie. Learning is really fun, and there is so much to learn. And the more you learn, the more you want to learn. So let's just remember the words of Katie Sieben. You can never know enough. Thanks for listening to Sincerely Trish.
Thanks for listening to Sincerely Trish. Catch more life lessons on her blog, poodlewalker.com, on Instagram, poodlewalker1, on Twitter, poodlewalker10. And let's remember, lead by example, live to inspire, and until next time, let your light shine.